Get ready for some demonic flames, incredibly cool pyrotechnics, and a mystery that will absolutely blow your mind. This week, we're talking about Fire Force. Welcome, anime fans and foodies, to Anime Bento. Each week, we review a different anime, and we give you some fun recipes to go along with it. Joining me this week is...
Hello, I'm Miguel, also known as Aquamix.
Miguel, we're finally getting the chance to talk about some anime on the podcast. I'm very excited to have you on.
I know. We've been putting it off. Sorry.
I know. I feel like we've been rescheduling a lot, but no one will know because this will still come out on time. So that's the magic of it all.
Exactly. So if you're listening, I didn't have to reschedule anything. I never missed anything. What do you mean? I watched this so quickly.
I will say in your defense, you did watch it very quickly. It's just been our schedules have been hectic.
I don't know about that. I think I kept putting off the last three episodes for some reason. I just kept getting busy and kept rewatching the other anime that I was watching instead.
Oh, okay, I can't. There is stuff I need to talk to you about. My Hero stuff, but... we'll save that for later. I have thoughts on those last three episodes, though. I have controversial opinions about, I think, the last four episodes of this show, but we'll get into that soon. And with every week, we have some fun recipes we'd like you to try out that go along with the show. This week, for our cocktail, we have the Devil's Footprints. Combining pineapple and lime juice with tequila, triple sec, and fresh jalapeno, this is a fun, spicy take on a margarita. And for our mocktail this week, we have the Inferno's Kiss. This drink has some heat to it. Mixing pineapple juice, orange juice, with coconut water, fresh jalapeno, and topped with some sparkling water. And for our food item this week, we have the Adola Burst Wings. These crispy Korean gochujang-style wings will have you calling Company 8. If you make any of these, we would love to see pictures of them, so please tag us at Anime Bento. Now, let's dive into the show. Spoiler warning, everyone. Brace yourself. The following content contains spoilers that might make your favorite character's past seem less mysterious. Proceed with caution. Let's talk about Fire Force. In a world where spontaneous human combustion creates fiery creatures called Infernos, a young pyrokinetic named Shinra joins Special Fire Force Company 8. He seeks to uncover the truth behind the fire that killed his family and his brother, all while fighting Infernals. Fire Force debuted July 5th, 2019, and you can stream this on Crunchyroll, Hulu, and Disney+. So now let's talk about the show. Okay, Miguel, Fire Force, what are some of your first impressions of this anime?
First of all, am I allowed to swear?
You are.
Okay, my first thought when I saw this anime was, what the fuck? I thought we were going to watch a, like... true to life, like a cool firefighter show, but like zero superpowers. So that was going to be more like not slice of life, but like not fiction, if that makes sense. Not a fantasy. I looked up zero things about this show before starting it. So I had zero context of it other than the name. And I don't even think I really like glanced at the picture. I just kind of went into it. So I just, you told me which anime to go to and I found it and turned it on. And the first scene being that train, that guy turned into a demon in a train. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What am I watching? Like, completely had to shift my mind into what I was going to watch. So, yeah, that was my first impression, which I was like, okay, I love me some fantasy. So, I am not mad about that.
I can't blame you for thinking this is going to be slice of life. You know, I love slice of life. So, it would have made sense for me to recommend us doing a slice of life show for this first episode together. But I did want to give you something with some more action in it. I don't know. Would you consider this fantasy? It's very shonen. So it gave me My Hero shonen vibes to me.
Yeah, it does give some My Hero vibes, but nowhere near as good.
Wow. Already.
Sorry. I have opinions, okay? And also, I just watched the first few episodes of My Hero last season. So good. So I'm not going to say anything about that, obviously, but that's why it's on my mind.
I do enjoy I like the mystery of the show. Something about firefighters, even as a kid, has always fascinated me. So giving firefighters fire powers sounded cool to me. Sounded cool. That first episode was a lot of fun. I think it's just a lot of action packed, just straight off the train. But
yeah, I mean, they definitely do a good job at capturing, like having that hook to capture the viewer right off the bat. So this, you're not going in waiting for the action to happen. Like the first scene is an action scene. It's meant to like draw you in. Okay, so this world has people that spontaneously combust. Okay. Now you start to think about, okay, so what is the story really about? And you're talking about demons, you're talking about the whole holy symbols, and you very quickly realize, or you can very quickly see that this show is very, very heavily like religious based shonen fantasy. I don't know what to say. Like it's very, has a very strong component in, like from religion, if that makes sense.
I like the faith aspect of it. I don't know, Hate. I'm not a very religious person myself. It's just I enjoy it though. I enjoy the, like, I don't know how to describe it, the tradition of religion. I mean, if religion had more superpowers in it, I might be more inclined. If they're like, you know, you have get you... superpowers when you join, I'd be like, maybe.
Okay, I was gonna say, have you not read the Bible? Because I'm pretty sure there's some superpowers stuff going on there. But
yeah, we don't get it though.
That's true. Yeah, it's only select few.
It seems like the majority of the people who are religious here have powers.
That is very true. And there's something I do have some questions about, but we can get to that later. But yeah, it's not just like religious. This is very much Christianity based, like straight off. Like there's no denying it. There's like, you see the cross, you have the holy symbols, a lot of the like what they're talking about and the good versus evil type of thing. And you have like the kind of like this reference to hell this whole time in the show. So yeah, I'm not very religious either. So I thought maybe you suggested it for that because you knew that. So you were trying to, I don't know.
Trying to indoctrinate you into the Church of Fire Force.
Yes, that's exactly what you were trying to do.
I mean, you get fire powers. This can't be cool.
I might if I get a fire power, honestly. I'd rather be a waterbender, but if I have no choice and I can at least get one, then sure, I'll take fire.
I will say, just jumping into the story and the... not just the church aspect, but this is like church. It's like church, firefighters, so I guess public servants, and then also big business. These are like the three main pillars of this world.
Yeah. I didn't think about that, but yeah.
I love the fact that they're not afraid to be like, all these three are corrupt in a sense. Like they say that everyone kind of has good intentions, or they're hiding behind good intentions, but really everyone has their own agenda to go through. And they're not shy about being saying that the church has their own agenda and the big business has it and the fire company has their own agendas to go through. And helping people was kind of just a byproduct of moving these three things forward.
But of course, your protagonist and like the company that the protagonist is in is the only one that's truly in it for the public service aspect and trying to actually better humanity and solve this issue of spontaneous combustion, because why in the world would you not try to solve this? It's terrifying, like knowing that you could just out of nowhere combust and turn into a demon and then get killed by these firefighters. Yeah, I would want to get that solved quickly. So it's shocking that there's not a bigger, I don't know, push from like the public per se to figure this out. And it's just kind of like hidden, like you said, a lot of corruption that is going on in the background.
Most definitely. They even kind of hint at that someone already knows why this is happening and maybe has some kind of cure or something along the lines of that. And I mean, not to put my tinfoil hat on, but I definitely believe in a lot of conspiracy theories of like some stuff is just being kept the way it is and hurting people, even though we can fix it just to make more money for companies. So, I don't know. That's how I feel about this.
I can see that.
That I believe that, or like,
yeah. I mean, yes, I can definitely see that you believe that. But no, I mean, I'm not a huge conspiracy theorist, but I would agree. Like, there are some things that seem fishy. So I'm not I'm not close-minded to it, but at the same time, I guess I'm not actively thinking about it, I suppose. I don't know.
I'm always walking around thinking about the things that they're hiding from us, that the secrets they don't want us to know.
I'm not. I barely think at all on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, for the past couple animes that we've talked on this show, there hasn't been too many filler episodes. And this is my personal opinion, but I feel like this, not that it goes against this anime, because I do enjoy it. I'm just going to say it. There is a lot of filler episodes, I think, in this show.
Yes and no. I mean, yeah, there are some filler episodes in it, but they don't feel super filler, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like I got something out of every episode. Like, it kept pushing the narrative forward or helping you know more about somebody's background or their intentions in each episode. So I wouldn't say it's too much filler, but it does have some fluff. Like, they add a little bit of fluff to it.
All right, this might be a hot take, but I think the last maybe four episodes, to me, in my own opinion, allegedly saying, just covering all my bases here, I think those are all four filler episodes. It's when they enter the subway, and it's kind of one-on-one battles with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think we need all that. I do enjoy seeing everyone getting to showcase their powers individually, but at the end of the day, I wouldn't have minded if it was just one big battle, over two episodes, with all of them fighting together, and then we kind of move on. Because we really, at the end of all that, we just find out that his brother is actually alive.
I mean, we already knew that beforehand, though.
Well, hinted, but he didn't see his brother until this moment.
That's not true.
Oh, wait. He met his brother in the garbage. Like, not garbage. Yeah. Sorry calling that guy's place a garbage place. I guess a junkyard. Is a junkyard better than a garbage place?
I think, I mean, yes, they have different connotations, so I would say so.
Okay. So I'm sorry, Vulcan.
Vulcan doesn't live in a garbage disposal area. He lives in a self-made junkyard.
Yeah, because with parts and scraps and metals and stuff.
Yes, yes. It all has uses.
Well, then I guess we don't even need the last part. We could just skip
it. You do learn a lot about the Adola Burst. And I liked part of those episodes. Well, especially the episode with the brother and him fighting whether Shinra, the main character, is fighting his brother, and his brother's name was... What was his brother's name?
Oh, no,
are you looking it up? I am terrible with names. Either way, whenever Shinra's fighting his brother...
Oh, Sho.
Sho. Thank you. Yes, Sho. He keeps saying it a lot. I don't know why I don't remember it. But they're fighting, and instead of actively trying to hurt Sho, Shinra is very much trying to break through to him in any way he can. So I really like that. I don't think that was a filler, or I think a lot of that was good to add. I would agree that maybe all the other fights could have been condensed into maybe one episode per se.
Yeah, I just think we didn't need four episodes of the subway scene. Three or four, however it was. I think it was three. No, wait, I think it's four now, because the girls had their fight, and then the lieutenant has his fight, and then the captain has his fight.
It is five episodes. I'm looking at it right now.
And Shinra.
Five episodes.
In the subway?
Yep. It starts at episode 19, To the Nether.
Yeah, because the last episode's outside. Yeah, I really think maybe it could have been two episodes. And that's kind of my only... I just thought it dragged on a little bit.
What is it, three? One episode for the fights with all the other people, and then two episodes for Shinra. Because I think that was the most important part. And I did like seeing that development.
The brotherly bond part was pretty cool. And him his brother snapping out of it was cool too. And my only other problem with that is they introduced this big boss guy in the beginning of the subway scene, and then it's just like, oh, he's going to be a threat, and then he's taken out in the first second. Like, he's taken out in the first battle. I don't know if you remember with the girls, and the Iris was with the... Gosh, what's her name? The cat girl.
Oh, yeah, I have things to say about the cat girl, but yeah. Regardless.
But I don't know. In my opinion, I think there was a... For me, those four episodes were kind of filler-y for me. If I didn't have them, I would have been fine. If I didn't have those one-on-one battles, I would have been fine. But everything else is pretty... The story moves pretty quickly. The slow episodes I really enjoy, too, especially when they go to that where Station 7 is in the city. I really enjoy that. Even though it's kind of slower, I still thought that was a lot of fun.
I like seeing the differences between the different stations and basically the customs that they each had, especially with Station 7. They have their own way of doing things, and it's insane. I like that they were very traditional, but like they're very traditional themselves within their area, but very untraditional to somebody like looking out from the like an outsider perspective. So like they're following their own tradition, but like to us that seems like what in the world are they doing? Like this is crazy. Just with their way of being okay with destruction to put somebody to rest that's from their community that has been turned into a demon. And they treat it like a whole party, and it's insane. But and then you have over here this Company 8, where it's very much a melancholic situation where you're just trying to put the person to rest so that the family members can stop suffering from seeing their family in this state. So it's like very, very different personalities per company.
I think, well, actually now thinking after you said that, thinking about the episodes I didn't like, maybe the subway stuff. I mean, okay, I enjoyed them. I just think I didn't need them. You know, it's like someone hands me a Reese's peanut butter cup. I don't need it, but I'm going to eat it. It's fine.
I'm going to enjoy it. What do you mean it's fine?
Yeah. Okay. You can enjoy it, but you didn't need it.
You need chocolate in your life.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
I stand
never
by that.
Mind. I forget this whole analogy. It's just ruined. Throw it out the door.
I'm sorry. You're talking to somebody that loves chocolate. Chocolate will be the death of me. You should have used something else.
I don't know. Gosh, I can't think of anything.
Anyway, I mean,
but you know,
did
what
you
want to
go? Yeah, I get what you mean. Like, but it's not necessarily. It just feels like it was maybe dragged on too long for you.
Yeah, I feel like I paid my dues. I grew up with Dragon Ball Z as a kid.
Oh no!
So I paid my dues of long fights being stretched out episodes. I also watched One Piece, so I'm paying my dues there. Let me enjoy some
where
stuff.
One punch takes 20 episodes.
Yeah.
For it to connect.
So I paid my dues. We've already gotten our badges for long filler episode anime watchers. I want something like a little more quicker.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I mean, nowadays, that's what a lot of the anime you see is the New York anime is very much go, 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 go. Not a lot of time to pause because that's how you keep the viewers engaged. And that's how you keep the franchise going.
Yeah, going back real quick before we dive into the characters, you saying about the stations, there were some stations we didn't get to visit in this season. And maybe if we'd taken some of those episodes away from the subway and put them to visiting some more of the stations, because it was cool seeing, because like I said, there's public service, like fire, like Station 8, which is there to serve the people. And then there are churches like Station 1 that are actual like religious based stations. And then there's company ones like Station, where's Princess working? Station 3? Yeah. Or she's called Princess.
She's 5.
Like 5. And that's owned by the a company because they're doing research there.
Yep.
So it was very interesting seeing how all the stations are very different from each other and how they operate. And how the hierarchy system works in that sense. I would enjoy maybe taking away some of the other episodes and moving them to more doing this and that.
Yeah, I could see. Yeah. I mean, getting to know. But I feel like that's what they're going to do in the next season. Probably you're going to be, now that you've explored certain aspects of what happened, I guess, in the story, and you got to meet these few key players, then the next season is going to be meeting more of the different companies and seeing which ones are allies and which ones are foes. So that's what I think what is going to be happening in future seasons, but I mean, who knows? I haven't seen it past this season.
All right, well, let's dive into some of the characters. First, I would start off, as usual, with our main person, Shinra Kusakabe. Opinions?
I feel for him because he has this nervous disorder tick. I don't know what you want to call it, where if he feels anxious, nervous, any sort of anxiety, I guess, he just smiles very creepily like a devil. And so he's kind of like suffered for that all his life, because when he lost his mom and he had this like very strong negative emotions going on, I guess a lot of anxiety, he was just smiling because he couldn't help it. It's just, that was, I guess, his natural reaction. And I feel for him because when I get very angry, I also smile and just to keep from showing. I don't know, like, it's to, like, keep from showing, like, a frown or something. It just, like, that's my go-to. Is like, I'm just going to smile to try to, like push through this type of situation. I don't know. I guess an anxiety response to myself as well. So I felt for him. I liked his spirit. I like he's very much that main character where he wants to serve, protect, and he wants to help as many people as he can. He's just a generally good guy.
He's not my favorite. I'm just going to say that off the bat. I have a favorite character.
I know who your favorite character is. I can already tell you I know who it is.
Okay. Okay. And then when we get to it, when I say his name, Stan, that already gave you an answer.
I already know who it is. You have nothing to hide from me here. I know your type of character that you always choose for your favorites in every single anime we've watched and talked about. It's always one, either the stupid one, like in this case, which I am 100% sure is, or it's the weird one of the group, always, or the creepy one, like the pervy creepy one, Mr. Pop-Off.
Mineta is the true hero in My Hero Academia.
Yes, 100%.
And I will die
totally
on that hill.
Yeah.
I just watched the first episode of season 8. Is that what season it is in My Hero?
I don't even know what season it is. The final season.
Yeah, the final season. And
don't spoil it.
I'm just saying.
I don't even remember Mineta in
Mineta's
that episode.
Power made a cameo. And I was like, That's right. Yeah. I'll tell you after we record.
Okay. Yeah. Because I don't remember that, to be honest. I need to rewatch it, I guess.
So I just watched it today. So it's fresh in my mind.
Gotcha.
Shinra, his entrance was so cool to me when he comes in. And even before he is officially part of Station 8, he dives into action. He saves Iris. I just thought that was so cool seeing it. I wonder, okay, we never really meet other people with his power. Because people call him, like, they call his power the Devil's Footprint. And I didn't know if that was just a nickname for him or a nickname that his powers are called. Like, just shooting out of your feet.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't think I caught that, whether or not maybe somebody else had that before or it was a nickname for him or not. But, yeah, I mean, I guess sharing his power, yeah, he can shoot fire out of his feet to propel himself and basically go faster. Or use it in various different ways, obviously, but primarily he's like a speed-based fighter.
I mean, his powers are kind of like Midoriya in season one. Or not season one, season two or three? Because Midoriya's a kicker.
He becomes a kicker.
Yeah. So, spoiler, sorry for My Hero. You haven't seen My Hero.
Yeah. Whoops.
Well,
if you haven't seen it by now,
yeah,
what are you doing?
You're
in
already,
your life?
Just skip. Go to the last season.
No. Do not skip.
Back.
You got to watch it
back.
Right now.
You'll figure it out. There's so much.
You gotta
context.
Watch it right now.
Just know Mineta's the best, and then you'll start.
No, you're wrong. But watch it. Get past season one's a little slow, but it gets so good after season one. Anyway,
I will say though, Shinra gave me. I was gonna say Mineta, Midoriya vibes, no. And I guess Mineta vibes too.
No, he does not give Mineta vibes at all. Vibes.
Well, just in the situations he ends up in.
Okay, well, that's not his fault. I will protect Shinra from that. I have things to say about this cat girl. Like I said, what the heck is wrong with, that's what my biggest pet peeve with anime in general is always like the trope of all the girls like the main character or like over-sexualization of characters. Biggest complaint. But anyways, I digress. What you were saying?
Well, he gives me the feels of Midoriya, just with the how he's forceful with his kicks, kind of how he's driven by wanting to be a hero against the odds. The big difference is that he has powers.
Yeah. I can see that, except he's very, like, I don't feel a lot of depth within Shinra's character. Like, he feels kind of bland.
Really, he has the whole young brother story that you loved.
I do love the story. I do love that aspect of it. But, like, he just feels very monotone. Like, there's not a lot of depth to his character, to his, like, personality. He's a good guy. Like, good guy that bad things have happened to and has been blamed. But, like, I don't know. I feel like there's something missing in his character, I guess. Like, I would have wished to seen some character development other than just seeing his power develop.
Okay, I can give you that. I do think he's very one note. He's very just, I need to be the hero. I need to figure out what happened to my family all those years back when I was a kid. I feel like I just filled in the story myself. You know, kind of when you get a little information, you're like, oh, this must be his backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they needed a more dive into how sad he truly is. Because you feel like he's a sad character. So much has happened to him that it seems like there's something deep in him that can be released more.
Yeah, like, I agree. They could have definitely explored that more and make you really sympathize for him. Because, I mean, this kid lost his mom and his brother, at least he thought at the time, in a fire. And then he got blamed for it. Like, they could have explored, like, all the trauma and all the things that he went through. And then his grandma didn't even want him. Like, he was put into, I guess, a shelter or something because family members thought that he caused a fire. Like, he could have had so much character development, in my opinion. But I feel like we saw zero character development. He had the same personality throughout, which is great. Like, that's fine. He's a good guy, I guess. But just, you don't see that character development like with other characters I've seen in the anime that I really enjoy.
I will say some moments I really loved of him. I like when he tells any character, if you ever need me, call for me and I'll be there.
I do like that too.
I enjoyed that a lot.
Is there any particular moment?
I mean, when we go visit Station 7.
Yes, that was good. That gave me I think I got chills when that happened.
That moment was great. I love that about him. We're talking about his grandma. That one made me really sad for him because his house is burning down and the police are trying to give him, like, tell his grandma, you need to take him in. He's your family. You guys, he has no one now. And she doesn't want to take him in because he does have that nervous tic that he smiles when he gets nervous. And he's just smiling, so she thinks he's an evil child.
Demon child. Yeah. It's so sad.
And there are moments in the season where, and again, I feel like this, I'm going to probably harp on the last three episodes, the subway things a lot. Because if we take them out and we can give more story to Shinra, because there are moments like when he finally decides to tell Station 8 all the members his secrets and his past and meeting Joker and all those things. And he says that he trusts them now and they are his family now, which could have been it felt like a great moment. And I was like, oh, this is very sweet. But again, it wasn't deserved. It didn't have the buildup to it that made it pay off that, okay, he can finally trust these people and they deserve to be a family now. Or he's finally found people that will take him in and comfort him no matter what happens.
Yeah, I agree. Like, if they had maybe a strained relationship at the beginning or, like, him being a little more reserved at the beginning and then seeing that progression to opening up, that would have been great. But I feel like he was just always so, like, happy-go-lucky and eager to please type of person that we didn't have that character development for him.
Yeah, it just feels like if we had a little more time with him, or if he did have, it just felt we got the payoffs before. It's like eating dessert before your meal. We didn't get any buildup to that. Man, I cannot. I'm going to have to come up with some whole, I guess food analogies aren't going to work when I record with you.
You're just saying, using the analogies that, like,
you're like, yes, I want that.
I do. Yeah, exactly. You're just using the wrong analogies.
So I guess I just think we got a lot of payoffs to moments that weren't deserved for Shinra.
Yeah, that's fair. Overall, though, would you say you like him, dislike him, neutral?
He's a great guy. Out of all the characters, I can think of three that I like better than him. So he's very mid for me. And yeah, that's bad for a main character, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that. If the main character isn't, not necessarily, but yeah, if he's not even your top three, I guess it depends on the person, but either way, I would agree with that, though. I would put him in mid as well.
Yeah, for me, just as me as an anime viewer, and I feel like, you know, this, like we talk about, I gravitate towards side characters a lot. I love side character. They become my
favorites.
Yes,
you do. Yes, you
do. Usually the main character is up there in the top five for me.
Mm-hmm.
I could think of Shinra barely in the top five at this point. There's definitely three characters that I love more than him. So I just, like you were saying, Shinra's cool. I love this brother storyline. I thought we were getting a little more depth towards the end with that. And maybe season two, they can build more upon his backstory and whatnot. But for me, Shinra is a great main character. He's he moves the story forward, and that's pretty cool. Cool. I guess that's his job.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. We have Arthur Boyle.
Oh my gosh. The definition of dim-witted is this kid. My goodness. At first, I thought he was doing a bit. I thought he was just like messing around with his personality and like just trying to be goofy. But no, this kid is, in layman's, like in simple terms, he's just stupid. He lives in fantasy land. I don't understand what goes on in this guy's mind. Arthur is the one that likes to pretend he's a knight. And anytime he has to do something, he gets into this like, I'm a ninja, I'm a whatever, and like I'm a holy knight and I need a steed or something along the lines of that. And it's just mind-boggling how he can take this as seriously as he does, because to him it's not a joke or a game. It's like, this is him, this is his life, and he is that. And my goodness, he is a comedic relief though, so I do like him, but it's just his personality is hilarious.
I do love when he's like, I'm a samurai, but I'm a knight pretending to be a samurai. So he's still, because there was that moment, or was it a ninja, where they're trying to sneak in, and Shinra's like, oh, so you're a ninja now, you're not a knight? And he's like, no, I'm a knight pretending to be a ninja.
I think he said rogue. I can't remember what knight? He said. It's, I don't remember.
He never deviates from knighthood.
That's true. I mean, because he has Excalibur, is that what he calls it? Something like, yeah. Excalibur, like his sword of plasma that he uses to, with his firepower. But yeah, he is. I think my favorite moment with him would definitely be
seeing him fight. Thing.
Yes, in Vulcan's episode with a freaking horse of a donkey like taped to his crotch. And somehow that gives him the power to like be really badass and fight against these other characters.
He did say the more that he looks like a knight, the more in character he gets and the stronger his power is.
Which, I guess, more power to you, boo. It's, you go. You get that style outfit and
I love,
power, I guess.
Okay, well, this makes me question, though. He knows this fact about himself already. Why doesn't he have, like, a suit of armor or something like that on him at all times to pump his power up?
Probably because going into a fire in a suit of armor would not be very pleasant.
Or at least maybe just the, like, what is it called? On the helmet, the little thing that comes down? Is that all just part of the helmet?
I don't even know. The
you know what I'm talking about, where the eye part is and it comes down?
Yeah, the face guard, the mouth face guard plate. I don't know what it's called.
He can have that design like a knight's helmet. It just maybe help him out, give him more power.
Hey, now they have an engineer, so now he can get some of that.
I love that Vulcan. He tells us a Vulcan, and Vulcan just runs around his place trying to find this. And I forgot the girl's name that's with them, but she's like, are you serious? Is this really going to help? Because it looks goofy as all get out. It's just stupid. And he's like, well, this is what he said this would help. And it actually works.
All that being said, though, I don't trust Arthur. I have a bad feeling about Arthur.
You think he's a traitor of some sort?
I think he is, yes. There's some episodes throughout the season where we see him kind of like, he disappears at some point. Like he like, after one major event, I can't remember when, he ends up disappearing for a few days, and they chalk it up to like he got lost and couldn't find his way back. But we also see another episode where he's like walking somewhere, and I can't remember the specifics of it. It was towards the middle beginning episodes where I thought I saw, like, remember seeing talking to somebody. So I don't know. I feel like he's playing this persona of like, you can't take me seriously. I'm just this dimwit that likes to pretend to be these things, but like I'm actually much more than that. Like I feel like that's what we're gonna see later. I may be totally wrong with this, which I can see that being the case because we always have to have a comedic relief, but something about him.
Okay, that'd be insane if he was a traitor, because there's already a character. I don't know if we're gonna talk about him or not. I'm just gonna mention his name, but I don't think he's worth talking about. Victor, the scientist that joins them mid-season.
Yeah.
And he's definitely up to no good. This character is definitely a spy of some sort. He's talking with the, like, Joker. Isn't he in cahoots with Joker?
He is in cahoots with Joker, but are they the bad guys?
They seem the bad guys of this.
Yeah,
well,
they seem shady.
Joker seems neutral. Or he did burn down that. Okay. I'm just saying, it seems like Victor is up to no good, and I don't know if Arthur is. I chalk Arthur being lost is one of those, you haven't watched One Piece, but Zoro always just ends up getting lost in One Piece all the time. He's just bad at navigating.
And before the listeners come at me for not watching One Piece by your statement, I have watched One Piece. I just haven't watched all 20,000 episodes because that's insane. I've watched up to like, I think the Giants, a little past the Giants.
Okay, so you know Zoro gets lost easily.
I don't remember Zoro getting lost, to be honest, because it was a long time ago that I watched it.
We've hung out and we've done Disney together and my sense of death. Yes. And I swear, if we bring up the like front entrance thing, I swear by that the front entrance of whatever California land or whatnot.
Never let this man give you the directions. I was ready to smack him because I was so tired and in pain from walking so much. And then he led us the wrong way and we had to basically walk 2 or 3 times as much because of that.
I think just our definition of what the front is different.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that little argument as well.
But that's what I think Arthur and I, so I was like, oh, he got lost. I can understand that.
I mean, I also have a terrible sense of direction, but it seems like it's too much. Like, it's gotta be a ploy. There's gotta be something to this guy. Like, I feel like he is hiding something. I don't trust him. I like him, but I don't trust him.
Oh, because there's a sweet moment with him. So it's after Shinra decides to trust the all of Station 8, and they're having the family dinner. And then Arthur gives him more...
Oh, I don't remember that. That's sweet.
Yeah, see, how can you think he's a spy if he's doing this?
You gotta be sweet sometimes while you're a spy. It's all about deception. Don't you remember the what is it they used to call it? The ploy that we were doing, the David and I.
Oh, the long con.
The long con. There we go. Thank you. Yeah, it's all about the long con, dude.
I will be shocked if Arthur turns out to be some sort of traitor. Arthur didn't make my top, though, for character.
What?
Oh, did you think Arthur was my favorite?
I thought Arthur was your favorite.
No. Well, got it wrong. There's another character that I really enjoy. Wow. See, guys? You think you know me, and then I, like, lean
that
to the
left.
That
is a shocker. I could have sworn up and down that Arthur was going to be your favorite.
No.
Is it Akitaru? Is it... how do you say his name?
Akitaru Obi? No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, I was going to say, if it's him, it's just because it's the body.
No, it's not him. There's another one, though. I guess that's like all. There only leaves one more person left.
No, there's a lot more people. What do you mean?
Okay.
Vulcan?
No.
Yeah, I was like, it doesn't make sense. So is it Takisha?
Yeah.
Really?
Inuawa, yeah.
I don't see that.
Oh,
that
really?
Goes against what I know about you.
That backstory episode got me, and then I was like...
Okay.
Okay, well, why don't we just... I feel like we covered Arthur. Do you want to... Let's go in Hinawa.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Arthur, right, I don't trust him. He's a dimwit, and I could have sworn he was your favorite. I stand by that. And I think you're just lying to me and yourself.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't like Arthur from the beginning. He just is annoying to me.
See, but all the characters I usually like, you usually like are the annoying ones, so...
That is true. I mean, there was a time where... Princess was my favorite character for a while.
I can also see that. Actually, but, yeah.
I was like,
anyway.
I inspire to be that. Okay, let's go to Hinawa. What do you think of our lieutenant?
Lieutenant?
Isn't that, he's a lieutenant, right? Yeah.
I think he is, yeah. I liked him more after seeing the background. He's that take things too seriously character. Don't play with fire, like always turning off the other girl's fire, familiar powers, and very like mission focused. I mean, he was fine to me.
Oh, what? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, like I didn't, the only reason I like him was because of his backstory. And that episode was, that was hard. It was up there for sure. It was very, having to do that and not, okay, well, we can spoil it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So having to kill his partner, but not being able to do it because of like it's your friend, it's your comrade you've been like sharing bunk beds with for this so long, like working together, and he couldn't fulfill the last request that his friend made of him to not let him turn.
Okay, he became my favorite in the episode when they're attacking Station 4.
Oh, yeah.
And he can manipulate the bullets because his power is he controls He controls existing flames. So when a bullet shoots, I guess it has a spark, and he can calculate the trajectory. Man, there's so many hard words in this show.
Trajectory. Trajectory.
The angle of the bullet.
Oh, no.
He can control the angle of the bullets and how they, where they end up. And I thought that was the coolest. And then we get his backstory. And I, because you don't really understand why he's such a hard ass this season and why he kind of wants everything done the right way. And you learn that he has this history with Infernals and he doesn't trust that other fire companies will take them out respectfully. Or he sees that Station 8 is going to be a place where it takes into account that these people had families and friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's very, very mindful, very respectful, and he's very, very much mission-driven. And I do agree, that episode with them invading Company 5 and seeing his powers in action, badass. Like, I was like, a guy with a gun, whatever. Like, I'm not a gun guy, especially if you are talking about a fantasy show. Like, it's a gun. That's not very creative. But the way that he uses the gun is like he can shoot somebody and not kill them because he can control how strong and he can control the trajectory of the bullet. But like he even shoots Shinra in what episode 2?
Yeah.
In the thigh. He's like, they didn't even go through his clothes because he can control how strong it's going to be. So he can use basically like quote unquote deadly power and not actually cause any harm.
And then when you find out, because that gun is not his gun, it's his partner's gun.
Yeah, and that is true.
And that's kind of one of my favorite things where you watch a whole show and you see this person has been using this thing or holding onto this thing. And you kind of like, oh, that's just part of their outfit or part of whatever, their suit or whatnot. And then you find out, oh, the real reason they've been carrying this one item is because of this. And then that backstory changes everything for me. His relationship with this gun, all that. So I don't know. I just watched that episode where they invade Station 4, and I was like, "This is my guy." I can't tell you why I gravitate toward those people. It's him, and then Princess, and then the Captain. Those are my top three.
Wow. I mean, I can see the Captain, but
not Princess.
No, I can see the Princess too.
Let's move on to our captain, Akitaru Obi.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He reminds me, have you seen, what's that show?
My Neighbor Totoro?
Kaiju, what? How does he remind you of anyone from My Neighbor Totoro?
Because you want to just hug him like Totoro.
I mean, I'm sure you want to just hug him, of course.
Oh, man, I love his suit, though.
Oh, yeah, he's, like, fully decked out. He's the only one in Company 8 that has no powers, I believe. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's the only one without powers. I mean, I guess Iris?
I think Iris has powers.
I mean, she's
just... Oh, wait, maybe she doesn't, though.
I don't think she does. She's just Brace.
Oh, maybe. And isn't prayer a power? Okay, we'll get to that. You're going to say Kaiju Either 8, way. Right?
Kaiju 8. He reminds me of the main character from Kaiju 8. Like, similar physique, very similar character design. He's like middle-aged, like, buff man who is just a total badass. Like, he just is a person that was very determined to do the right thing and help people, even though he had no power. So he strained his body to compensate for not having a firepower like the other people do. So he can go toe-to-toe with some of these very, like, powerful people and monsters. So I respect him. I like him. He's very laid back. He's a very, like, chill persona. And at the same time, trusts those under him. And he's not, like, babying anyone or overbearing. He's just trusts his company. So I really like Obi. He's a good leader.
I knew I was going to love Obi from the beginning. When he meets Shinra and he learns about his smiling thing, and then he forces him to, he makes it so awkward that Shinra has to smile. I knew.
Yeah.
I knew he was going to be fun.
Yeah, that was a good little, like, intro to them. Like, you see, because the first time you see him, he's actually very stern because he's on a mission. He's trying to, like, protect people in this fire that happened in the train station. And he tells, like, because the lieutenant is trying to say, hey, I think this is our guy that's coming to join us. But Obi's on a mission. He's like, are you coming or not, lieutenant? And But so we see first this like very stern side of him. And then immediately after, as soon as they get back to the station, there's no more threat. He's just wanting to make poor Shinra uncomfortable to see his nervous tick.
I just respect the guy. We also learn his backstory in the same episode we learn Hinawa's backstory of that Obi was a firefighter, a regular fire. Because in this world, there's regular firefighters and then there's the fire force. So there's two sets of firefighting people. One fights normal fires and one fights the infernals. And he was a regular firefighter.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, the words today are hard. He was a regular firefighter and he was on a, or they were putting out a fire and then another company comes and they kind of joke about putting down the infernals. And he's saying that these used to be humans and how can we take this so lightly? So
yeah.
He just really earned my respect. And also, he's also like conspiracy theory guy. He's also conspiracy theory guy saying that we can't trust anyone. We're the only team that can trust ourselves. And we have to figure out what's going on.
Is he a conspiracy theorist?
Well, though? He doesn't trust, or is it valid that he doesn't trust everyone else?
I mean, I feel like it's valid. It's very, he's noticed a pattern of things and he sees things are not improving. So he's striving to do something about it. And he's like, even with Company 5, he sees that this relatively new, like nobody, this person just, I don't know, we rose to power from being a nobody all the way to being the captain of Company 5. So he's like, there's something going on here. So I don't know that it's conspiracy theorists. It's more so he's taking notice and taking action. Because I don't know. For me, a conspiracy theory, whatever. Now you're making me struggle. When I think of that, I think of like trying to draw conclusions even from like far-fetched ideas, I guess. So I don't know. I feel like he's an action person. He sees something's wrong, he's fixing it.
I guess, okay, maybe I might backtrack. I don't know. I still stick to it. I guess he's not trusting, an untrusting person. Of people he doesn't know. I guess that's fair, right?
Who's your trust people? Say.
I guess then he's a normal human.
I like how I'm just making you question everything you're saying today and making you backtrack on everything. That is my new goal.
Okay.
I'm just going to disagree with you.
Obi is a normal person.
No.
Is what we concluded.
No, I mean, he's...
He's super strong, though. Not like
he is.
His power strong. He's made his body that strong. Like they're working out and whatnot. He's got the coolest costume, of course, because he has no power, so he needs the most protection from fire.
And he needs all the extra equipment. Like he has to go in with this like axe and guns and grenades and all these things to extinguish the infernos.
And I do think he might be the only captain without powers. From all the one we met so far, they've had powers.
Yeah, you're right. He's the only one so far
that we
know of.
So now I'm wondering, how did he become a captain?
I think he just founded his own station. That's the thing.
I thought the government had to like appoint, like make you a station.
That's I don't
think
a good
you
point.
Just make it yourself. Because even Station 7 was an unofficial station, and then the government came in and was like, we're just going to make you an official one.
Well, I mean, Company 8 started literally with just Obi and Hinawa.
But they had a building.
Could it be that maybe just because that region, that area didn't have a formal company, and so they were able to essentially just start it, and that's why? I don't know. I really don't know how that works. I guess it's not really explored other than, hey, we're going to start this company to make things better, and they do. But yeah, I guess we don't know how you officially become a captain
company. Or a fighter. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's great, though. I really like him. I like that he's this father figure and he takes care of the group. And
yeah.
He's great. He's pretty cool. Again, another character that I enjoy that barely has any development in the season. But...
Obi?
Yeah.
But I feel like that's okay in this case because he's more of a mentor and the story is not focused on him. He is very much a side character, but like an overseer of sorts, because even in the big fights, like when they're like invading Company 5, when they're going to the subway, like he doesn't ever really take like the spotlight. Like when he's in the tunnel fights, he's sharing the spotlight with Vulcan. He's sharing this fighting together with him, and like they have a moment essentially. And like in Company 8, he doesn't fight against the big bosses, obviously the main character. So like he's always doing things. He does fight against a Company 7 captain, But that's a really cool fight scene. I really like that, honestly, because you see him finally in action against this really powerful person, and he's holding his own. But like, that's the only really real time we see him like shine in any of these like big developments. So he's more of a, like you said, a father figure, an overseer of sorts, a mentor. He's somebody that's already been, I guess, developed, I suppose. He's already at a good point.
I agree. He's a very great leader and a well-seasoned one. I think this is my last statement about him. He's a well-seasoned leader. He doesn't make too many mistakes, and he just lets, he understands when people need to shine or what people can do.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have two more characters of this group, of our main team. I want to talk about Iris first, though, real quick.
Go ahead.
Iris was very conflicting to me because we didn't really know much about her, but we got a full backstory of her. She was just kind of that character at the end of everything. It was like Latos.
Latome.
Is it? Oh, I thought it was Latos. Is Latos the cookie? Is there a cookie called
Latos? I don't know.
Am I just hungry right now? Is there a Latos cookie?
I'm pretty sure she says Latom, Latom.
Oh, maybe we're just thinking of a cookie.
Look it up, but I've never heard of a Latos cookie.
It's, you know that cookie they give you on airplanes, the Biscoff?
Mm-hmm.
The company is Latos.
So is it Latom what she says?
I don't know. I was looking up the cookie.
Oh my gosh, I thought you were looking up what she says. Basically saying amen is what I equate that to or correlate that to.
Yeah, Latom.
See, I swear.
I would join the company more if we were praising that church would be on my top list. If you're praising a cookie company, I might be a part of that.
Only if I get free cookies. Yeah, you want to start a cult? We can do it.
I mean, is it the Latos cookie cult? People would love. You know, I didn't know you could sorry, this is a tangent. I didn't know you could buy those cookies, not like you could buy them. I thought they were only on airplanes for a while.
So, fun fact, the Biscoff cookies?
Yes.
I've been buying them from Costco for like the past year, and I always get like 2 packs. But apparently, either yesterday or today, I got a notification on my phone from Reddit saying that somebody made a post on the Costco subreddit saying that they no longer sell the Biscoff cookies at Costco. So I am very upset. I still have a brand new pack unopened, but I have like a half-eaten pack. Like a half-eaten pack of cookies in like the side of my pocket, right of my backpack pocket right now.
Right now in your pocket?
No, my backpack. I took it to D&D with my friends and shared it around. But I have a whole pack of it unopened, and I'm going to be very sad once I run out, because if Costco doesn't sell it, where can I get it in bulk?
Wait, you should just go to Costco and buy a whole bunch real quick.
Well, no, they already discontinued. Like, I guess
it's already gone?
Sell it.
It's not like no more leftover stock?
I guess so. I don't know.
Oh, wow. I guess you're going to have to go on more airplane trips.
Yeah, totally. Because I can afford that.
Pocket the one or two they give you. Ask Latos. Now I'm going to say that every time I'm on an airplane, they give me the cookie. Latos. Sister Iris, didn't really know where she fell on my list of characters I like, I don't like. And then the episode where they invade Station 4, and I was very, in my mind, I thought, oh, dude, she's badass. She went there by herself, unprovoked, to go talk to the captain. That's pretty cool. And she does not have any powers.
Oh, you looked it up?
Yeah, I did. When I was looking up Latos, I was going to say Latos again. But when I was looking up, no, she doesn't have any powers. So that's pretty.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So what are some of your thoughts of Iris?
I mean, she's a priestess.
She's a nun.
Nun? I don't know. I correlate her with being like a priestess type of profession. She's very sweet, very like, you can tell she like, she's just a really kind person. Is one of those like people that would never say a bad thing about anyone, and I like that. I seeing her backstory, it was really sad. Again, a lot of these people seem to have been like orphans for some reason. So far we have, what, at least in this list, at least 3 orphans. So very tragic past as a kid, like losing her family to a fire and then losing all the other kids to a fire as well, apart from Princess Hibana. I don't really have any opinions of her. Like, she was not very
memorable,
impactful to me.
I think she's just a good, solid character. I enjoy these characters that are very just there to support and always kind of these strong pillars of the group. I never see her waver. I don't see her get too afraid. So I just think she's a really solid character.
But like, what does she? What does
what
she
does
contribute
she bring to the team?
Yeah, what does she bring to the table? Like, she prays for people, and that's it, right? But like, it doesn't seem like you need to pray to put someone to rest, other than for like the emotional aspect for like the people that are alive, I suppose.
I do think every team has this person on their team, though. I think
yeah,
it's
but a lot
one
of the
of
other
the
ones
have
do
fire
have powers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. So I don't
She's
understand.
Just nice.
She is just nice.
She's just nice.
She is very nice. She does propel, I guess, the story forward with like going to Company 5 to see if she can talk some sense into her.
Is it Company 5?
Friend.
I've been saying 4 this whole time. And no
is
one's
it 4?
Now I'm. Wait, let me.
Well, look it up now.
It's 5. Man, not to edit every time I say 4 out to 5.
Jeez. It's Company 5. Yeah, that's a lot of work. It's just going to be talking in and over, just cut.
5.
4. All 5.
Should I just get a robot voice, the AI voice? 5.
Yes, you should. But she does propose a story forward with trying to go and talk some sense into her friend, like to her old friend, but obviously ends up getting disrobed. And
her clothes burned off.
Yeah, of course, because why not? So, but yeah, I think, I feel like she's just like the moral compass of the party. But like, I don't see, other than the praying, like what she brings to the table. I do like her. She's nice, but.
She's just nice.
She's just nice. She's just.
She's great to have on the. I really, well, one of my favorite moments was when they went to the junkyard with Vulcan. And she was like, what does this button do? She just kept pushing the button. I don't think she's that smart, though, at this point.
I feel like she's just impulsive.
And then Vulcan was like, push all the buttons you want now. She's like.
I forgot about that. I forgot that she went to that. That was great. But yeah, she ended up saving the day by pushing all the buttons.
This is true. I guess, well, now that I think about it, I really love that trio when they went on that side quest of Shinra, Arthur, Iris. They're a fun three.
I don't know what they were thinking sending them three alone, but either way, that was a good moment. But yeah, she's very impulsive. Now that you bring up the button pushing and talking about her just going to this hostile company that she knows of where her friend's at that's been corrupt. So she's impulsive, but she's nice.
She's nice. Okay, let's last one for our team. Maki,
she's cool. I like her. I feel like I like her because she wants to have fun with her firepower, and she creates these little balls of fire that she can control, and like they're like little familiars and they're super cute. But then inevitably Hinawa always puts them out, unfortunately, even though they're cute. Don't play with fire, kids. But I don't know. She's just very like happy, sweet looking girl. But then you see her be like, she has like more than one, not personality, but like she has more. She's not one note. Like she's very sweet when she wants to be. But then when she needs to get on business, she's like super strong and can kick pretty much most of these characters down. Even in the first, second episode, she just pretty much obliterates Shinra and Arthur just with her fighting power alone, not even relying on her powers too much. I guess she does use it a little bit, but either way, I like her power. I like her personality. I like that she's very strong and she can hold her own.
For me, again, another character that kind of falls in the middle range for me. I love her backstory. I love, because it's in, man, we got three people's backstory in that one episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that she comes from privilege. Her dad is a captain of a station. Just a regular firefighting station. And even though she's a hard worker and she is more than capable of being a firefighter, she'll never. Obi was talking about. Oh, not Obi. Was it? Hinawa's friend was telling him that she'll never move up just because of this relationship and that no one will respect her. And everyone will think that she just got this through nepotism, basically.
Oh, I forgot about that, to be honest.
So I really love that she was able to prove herself, and she is one of the best fighters on the team. And man, there was something about her that I love when Vulcan comes in and gives her the two guns that are powered by her little fire spirits.
Oh yeah. Vulcan has the potential to like add so much depth, a lot of a fighting range to each of these characters because he's the engineer anyway. So I don't want to get to him yet. But yeah, no, I mean, I honestly really like Maki because she's more of a person I guess. I see her like she's a true person with her strengths or flaws. Or you see her like joyous side with wanting to play with her little fire familiars, but it like the little rebellious side, I guess, because she knows she's not supposed to technically, even though she can control them. It's not like she can't put it out, but obviously don't play with fire. So I don't know. I like her.
I do like when she talks about love with Iris. She's talking about like he called you a princess. When she talks about romance, about being falling in love. She has this tough side when she's out in the field and she's fighting. Seems like she's this really tough person. But inside she's kinda has this mushy romantic side.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like she's more multidimensional than some of these characters. I feel like she has this personality because she's a woman in a predominantly male profession, and she has a military background, so she's probably had to like do more to get to where she's at, again, to overcompensate the stereotypes, and then also the nepotism, I guess, fear that she might have, or perception that she doesn't want to have with her. But so she has that like tough exterior, and I also relate to her in that she very much, anytime someone says something remotely bad about her, it's like, did you just call me a gorilla?
Oh, yeah. Doesn't Arthur call her a gorilla or like an ogre or something like that?
They make something. He says something about her being freakishly strong or something like that. And then she's like, did you just call me a gorilla? And then they like pummels him and something along the lines. And this is like happens multiple times. So it's like I do that with David all the time where we're joking around, and then he'll say something, and then I'll pretend to be very offended by what he said and like make it over the top because why not? So I like that about her.
But that covers our main team. There's a couple of side characters that I feel like. What side characters do you want to talk about? I think I mentioned the ones I already like a little bit, but
I don't know.
Well, I'm surprised you don't want to talk about, what is his name? Benimaru?
Oh, Benimaru?
Yeah. I mean there's not much to talk about.
Yeah, I was going to say that I like him, but that you don't see too much of him, I guess. And also he's I don't know. He's a cool fighter, and he's like he's good at fighting, but I don't know. He's not one of my favorites. I'm trying to think who I really like.
Yeah, I'm going to ask who your favorite. I think the side characters are really cool. We don't get too much of them, or there's not much to talk about them. They're kind of all just there. I think Benimaru probably. I mean, like, everyone knows I love Princess. And those fire fans, those are too cool. Do you have a favorite of the main group? Wait, did you say your favorite already?
I haven't said my favorite. I'm trying to figure out who my favorite.
Man, like, my I would have thought your Sorry. Favorite would have been Arthur.
Really? What? Knowing me, you would say Arthur.
Actually, you know what? Maybe it is Maki.
My favorite?
Yeah, I would say Maki.
I really do like Maki.
I think you like having a familiar. You like the side, like...
Oh, I love familiars.
Yeah, so I feel like Maki is up there.
Yeah, just for her power alone, I really like Maki, to be honest, because anytime I play any video game that allows me to play a character with... where I can have either a pet or a familiar of some sorts, that's my jam right there. I don't know why I love it so much, but the idea of summoning magic or anything like that, absolutely love it.
Well, I don't know. What do you think? What about Joker?
I think Joker's one to mention for sure. I feel like he's going to play a big role later on. But right now, we just see him. Yeah, let's talk about Joker. Why not? I think he's a notable side character that I want to know more about. So far, okay. What we know of him. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, so we'll talk about let's talk about Joker.
Okay.
I think he's a villain. He set the Joker, we meet Joker, and he's like, he sets this training building or this activity building on fire to just meet Shinra. I think that's evil.
I mean, yes, it's bad to burn a building down, of course. I would agree with that. But every time he's appeared, he's always had a purpose for it. Like, he doesn't just appear for nothing. So the first time we see him is in the episode where Shinra has to basically deal with his first inferno with the company. And it's hard for him because it's like taking life. And so that's not the first time we see him. The first time we see him is in another episode where the inferno is just sitting there, like not actually causing any havoc, but like just sitting there until he gets killed. And so, and it seems like maybe Joker created this inferno for some reason. And then, like, collapse a building on top of them. So that's the first thing I thought when it happened. But I don't know now that if he actually did that. I think he's very much He seems like a somebody. What's an anti-hero type of character where he has good intentions, but he goes about him in a very mysterious and like manipulative sort of ways. If that makes sense. I feel like he's in the end, he's trying to help, but the ways that he's doing it is like not conventionally morally correct, I guess.
Yeah, it's for me, it seems like Joker. Well, I think he's up to no good, of course, but he also feels like he's a part of a different group, like an anti group that somehow they're things align with Company 8's things, even though they don't go about it the right way. It just feels like their things align, because the scientist guy is a part of this too.
Yeah, 100%. The scientist is sketchy as hell, and so is Joker, obviously. I mean, like the first time you see him in that building that he burns down with Shinra, he tells him his brother's alive. He gives him information to like motivate him to better himself so he can essentially fight toe-to-toe with this other entity. Then another time you see him is with at the Vulcan junkyard, where he saves them. He saves by essentially stopping Sho from taking Shinra and then helping our party of Company 8 escape. And then again, one other time he shows up, I think he's again helping Company 8, and he's telling the scientists to like do something to help Shinra develop his powers faster, because otherwise he can't compete against Sho. So I think he's trying to take down this other organization and help. But he probably has an ulterior motive. Maybe like once this other party's taken down, then his faction could take over type of thing. It could just be he just likes anarchy. I don't know. But I personally don't think he's evil.
I think, okay. Did I say evil?
I don't know.
I'm going to backtrack again if I did. No. He's up to mysterious things.
Of course. He's a mysterious man doing mysterious things.
Yeah. As I strive to be myself, I feel like.
Yeah, totally.
There's actually another character I do want to talk about before we move on. Tamaki, the cat girl.
Oh my God. I kept referencing her before the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, I was like, oh, there's someone I keep forgetting.
Why? What in the world is going on with this girl? Like, she has some sort of curse or something, right?
I thought it was just part of her, just her personality. But it's not like, okay, so the running joke with her is that her clothes are always mysteriously coming off.
Not only that, that's not even the worst of it.
Oh, and then she's falling on people.
Always falls on people in a way so that, especially for Shinra, it's always like hands end up in inappropriate places. Let's just say it, put it that way, to keep it PG. That's just an ongoing thing. And it's like the very first time you meet her, I'm pretty sure, is like she falls on Shinra and Shinra's hands somehow end up under her bra. And it's like, if your goal was to distract me, well, you succeeded. Because he's like now all like frozen in fear and like smiling creepily because he's super anxious about the situation he's in. But it happens so much. I'm pretty sure she references it at some point, like some sort of curse or something like that. I don't even know. It's got to be something going on there, because there's no way.
I do enjoy that that's how they defeat the like main boss at the end in the subway.
Oh, I said I remember that.
Because something happens in the main boss guy, that it's her and Iris and they're fighting him, and his hand touches her boob. And he gets really embarrassed and nervous. And that's the opening she needs to, like, destroy him.
I don't remember this. I might have kind of glossed over
like
that.
Because it's like filler, these things.
Yeah.
But that's how she defeats him. And there was another moment where they're trying to figure out if she's real or not. And then her clothes come off and they're like, oh, you're definitely the real one.
Yep. Or is just something that makes her clothes fall off. I'm pretty sure it's Iris that does it.
Yeah. Is it when they're in the subway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember that, because that was right at the beginning of the subway arc.
But I'm torn. I kind of want... She is from Station 1, and because of what happened in Station 1, she gets put on leave, and she's just spending time with Station 8. I don't know. I'm conflicted if I want her to go back or not. She's kind of fun to have around, but yeah. I feel bad for Shinra.
Yeah, I don't understand. Another comic relief, I guess, but I hate that whole trope.
But that's in like almost all anime.
Yeah, I know.
That female character.
Yeah.
Well, I think that wraps up all the characters. I can't think of any more that we should go deep into. Oh,
you didn't want to talk about your favorite character, one of them? Hibana? Princess?
Oh, no. I feel like we mentioned her enough.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah, we have talked a lot about the characters, but yeah. She's interesting.
I mean, I tried to be her when I grew up. I feel like
you are her.
You think so? That makes me smile.
In your heart, you are her.
Are there any moments that you enjoyed that we didn't get to talk about?
I think one of the moments that I really liked, let's see. I mean, I really liked seeing, in the ending episodes in the subway, like the fight of Sho and Shinra. Just seeing, like, him trying to break through and actually seeing the breakthrough happen. But then all of that just gets, like, ripped out of his hands because of this other devils, whatever the heck they are, come in and essentially do some sort of electric power. So no longer fire. So now there's an electric power introduced and she just takes over his mind. So I like that because one, introduced a different type of element into power. I guess if you're thinking Avatar Last Airbender, electricity bending is part of fire bending. So I guess maybe this all gonna stay so fire related. But it gave me hope, or like, I don't know, foreshadowing of potential, there being a potential for other types of powers that are not fire related.
Mm-hmm. I will just say, adding to that moment, and again, how it was just, I really feel like that moment would have paid off a little bit more if we could have gotten more backstory for Shinra and his brother sprinkled throughout the whole season.
Yeah.
It's there, but it's not fully anything. I wish we would have gotten more. Because it just, and people should know, I am a crier. I cry a lot in movies and shows. This should have made me cry. This moment where they're coming together and he's...
Yeah.
And Shinra's saying, I'm sorry I left you. And if I knew you were still here, I would have kept searching for you. And that moment should have made me cry when they were hugging. But I just was like, oh, this is sad. This is heartwarming.
Yeah, I can see that. It wasn't as sentimental as it could have been. The only other thing I would mention, I don't trust the mascots.
I forgot about the mascots. I trust that except for old man. Okay, here's a question. Are they people in the mascot costumes, or they've been genetically engineered?
I always assumed that they were people in mascot costumes.
Because there is a scene where they're all sitting down and they're about to eat dinner, but they still have their they're in their still mascot bodies.
I don't remember that, but I do remember like the one of them getting stuck on a tree and being called out for that. The firefighters being called out to help him get off the tree, down from the tree. But how in the world did that thing get on top of the tree? I do not know.
Well, those people lifted it. Remember? They were like...
Oh, yeah. That's true. Because of the whole case going on. But I don't trust them. They're suspicious. They're always just there when things are happening in the beginning.
That old man. I just enjoy that Shinra's like, why is there an old man? Who says it? Maki's like, oh, it was two dogs, but they changed it to old man so people would relate to it more or be more trusting of it.
But it's an old man looking dog, like a dog man looking thing.
I enjoy them, but they're very weird.
They are. I feel like they're up to no good. I feel like
and they're in it a lot.
Yeah, I know. They show up a lot. And like at some points, it's showing up holding balloons. And then there's like a balloon flying in one of the episodes, like out of nowhere. And it's like, you guys, I feel like somebody's in these suits that's not good.
I think for me, the only moments that we haven't got to talk about, it's all happens in when they visit Station One. Okay, a character that I really loved that I wish we would have gotten more of is Takaru. Was it Takaru Noto? He's the really scrawny guy. It's called the Juggernaut. And he doesn't want to, he's afraid of his fire powers.
When is that one?
When they're sparring and when they go to Station One, and he's from a different station because they're doing the exchange, and they decide to have like the sparring match.
Oh, is he the one that wanted to get the number from the cat girl's number?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And his suit is like really long and he just looked cool.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this guy's going to be my favorite character. As soon as I saw him, I was like, this guy's going to be my favorite. I can't wait. And then he never showed up again.
I know. I guess another moment that we didn't talk about too much. I know we're probably running long here. Another moment that I really liked was that whole arc with the cat girl. I'm just going to call her the cat girl because I keep forgetting her name. What's her name? Tamaki?
Yeah. Are you talking about the arc with Reika?
With him, like, abducting the kids and, like, trying to, like, turn them into infernals to find who has the Firefly? Or what was it called?
Oh, man, what is it called? The Abdallah Flame or whatever?
Is it that? I thought it was something else. I thought it was he was trying to find who could, like, basically hold his fire power and now combust, essentially. But I forget what it's called.
It's not called the Abdallah Burst, right? Abdallah Burst?
Abdallah Burst.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. But is that...
They need them to, like, summon something or whatever.
Yeah, but...
Abdallah Link?
Abdallah Link, yeah.
The pillars. Some individual with the Abdallah Burst are designated as pillars.
Let me see. I'm looking up. So this is when we find out that the insects are what causes the infernals. They're looking for the pilot light is what I found it. So they're looking to find someone to be the pilot light. And anyways, I really like that whole arc because one, you see this, like you have Tamaki who's like obviously well-intentioned. She doesn't realize what she's actually doing when she's gathering children for him, which is
I mean,
awful.
Have you seen Reika? Okay. Okay. You finish and then I'm going to have a statement.
Yeah. So you have this and then like there's a betrayal of him like actually essentially killing people and like this guy just kills one of the kids' mothers in front of him, which is awful. And then you have like the whole fight scene with Shinra coming in, saving the day. And then I was super suspicious of Company One, obviously, with everything that was happening at that point. But then seeing the one of Company One's characters, I forget the one that can like freeze people.
Is his name like Karim?
Something like that.
But he has like the tuba thing.
Yeah, the tuba.
Yes, he's so cool.
Guy. He is kind of cool. And like freezing his own comrade. Because obviously it's wrong and he's not like this tuba guy is not a bad guy. So I don't know. I just like that whole scene and the whole fight scene. And you finally learn what's actually going on at this point. Well, I guess you get a really good idea of what's actually happening, what's causing everything. And this is when you get the reveal of this other holy quote unquote entity that is causing all of these issues.
Yeah, that was a really great storyline. I was very sad when Reika turned out to be evil. I literally screamed no at my TV when that scene happened.
Because he is good looking.
I was like, no!
And then he got shot through the heart.
Yeah, he shot through all our hearts. So, but anyway, those are some of my favorite moments. Well, okay, so with... Every anime we watch, we give it a rating on our rating scale. So, Miguel, what would you rate season one of Fire Force?
Honestly, I would rate it just a snack. It's fine. It's not, like, amazing. There's a lot of your typical tropes of, obviously, good versus evil, religion. But it doesn't really call to me. Like, there's nothing in it that really stood out to me in the anime. To be honest, I enjoyed it for what it was, but it's not one that I would go back and just watch just for, like, I have a lot of anime that I will rewatch to the end of my life, I feel. And this is not one of them.
So no season two?
I might try it. But to be honest, like, season one didn't capture me well enough for me to be like, yes, I need to go watch season two. If you tell me to go watch it because you want to talk about it, I might say yes, but I wouldn't bank on it. What about you?
For me, I'm gonna say it's mouthwatering.
Really?
Oh, wait, sorry. Never mind. Your cursor is... I thought you were on just a snack. But your cursor is on the one I wanted to say. So I was like, but your cursor's one above or one under what I wanted to say. I meant to say, sorry. Man, you're just tripping me up this whole episode.
I am doing nothing. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're moving your cursor around the page. No, sorry. I meant to say I'm giving a... Satisfying. I really find it's solid. I enjoyed it. It was one of those shows where in the middle of it, I was really hooked. So I binged through 5-6 episodes in a day. It was going really fast for me, especially when they went to go visit Company 7. I enjoyed it. I am going to dabble in season 2. I'll probably just finish it because I know there's 3 seasons out. So I might as well just finish it because I need to know what happens at the end.
Yeah, I'm not that invested in the story to care too much, to be honest, unfortunately. I wish I liked it more. I mean, I think it has potential, but I don't know. It's just a snack.
What if Catgirl got her a spinoff? Would you watch the spinoff?
No, absolutely not.
Just her?
I might if Obi got a spinoff. I feel favorite characters, I feel like Obi and Maki are my favorite too.
Everyone knows who my favorite is.
Yeah.
Everyone except for you.
Obviously, it's Arthur. You're just in denial, but well.
Well, those are just our opinions, but we love to hear what y'all thought about the season. So please leave us a comment telling us your favorite moments and your favorite characters, even if it surprises us. You can find us at Anime Bento. You can find me at Jimsta2.
You can find me at AquamexX on Twitch. Otherwise, I'm not very active on socials.
That's all for this week's episode. And
You want to try that again?
Yeah, but I might just keep this in there. That's all for this week's episode. Until next time, stay legendary.
And don't forget to keep watching anime.
Bye.
Bye-bye. The show.